They are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time featuring Joe C.
I reduced my toilet paper down to 3 squares.
Matt Hayes.
Big asses. No. Big thighs. Yeah.
And Leon Searcy.
Bringing you love, peace, and soul.
How you like me now?
Up on a beautiful Wednesday, half of the week is spoken for. The other half, well, that's up to you, man. That is up to you. The afternoon is ours. It's XL Primetime, ready to crank on a Golf Club of Southampton Wednesday, a gorgeous day. And so you can call right now, 2 o'clock hour, boom. Call 287-PLAY, and you got a chance to get out a little after 5 this afternoon, play 9 holes. On the Golf Club of Southampton, a little food afterwards, some prizes, and it's always fun. Would love to see you out there. Join me. Just call 287-PLAY, and we'll be out there at the Golf Club of Southampton a little bit later on. Now, we're going to go back to last night. We're going to talk about Zion, not available at the end of the game, but the Lakers do win that game, and now they take on that top seed. Hey, man, don't ask for it. Don't wish not to see it. Embrace it, Leon Searcy.
Yeah, it was a good game. I absolutely watched all the game, and a lot of people were saying, the pundits were saying that the best thing the Lakers could do is lose that game to avoid the Nuggets, because the Nuggets are just a matchup nightmare for the Lakers.
They've been
for a while. They have that pick and roll. Yeah. What Joker is just it's just. It gets the Lakers all the time.
Yeah, and that guy is as good as it gets, and we all know that, the Lakers, you know, they had that the little engine that could kind of mindset down the stretch, and they at least put together some, I think, a good finish to the season, more point producers on that basketball team down the stretch. They at least get to rest. Hell, I'd rather see them, if I'm going to see the Nuggets, I'd rather see them early than later. Mm-hmm. You get 3 days rest. You make sure that you guys got a chance to at least come in there fresh and hot, and who knows, you might be able to pick them off. Probably not, but whatever, as opposed to seeing him a little bit later on down the road.
Well, I know you'd rather see him. I'd rather not see him.
Just
avoid him at all costs.
Yeah, you want to knock him out if you can.
Yeah.
If you see him.
I mean, that definitely wasn't a good thing. And Capella doing me talking just now, but I'm just talking for the Lakers' sake.
Yeah.
Any chance they think they may have at a title, if it has to go through Denver, more than likely they won't get it.
And OKC's not the biggest, threat out in the West.
It's still the Nuggets' favorite, I think,
especially
in the playoff time.
Yeah, I'll look at the odds and see where we are. But a season best from Zion last night, 40 points, and then left leg soreness. And he easily could have been hurt.
I mean, hammy.
Yeah.
It's look, you're not a guy that with the talent that he has, who has 40 in a game, you're not pulling yourself out unless you're injured, not hurt, injured.
I tend to agree with that.
For Shaq to go on to say Chico, stay in the game, and I mean, come on, man.
Let's make this clear. He sells Icy Hot for a living.
No, I get that. But Barkley did too. I mean, do you really think a guy's going to pull himself out of the game in the heat of the moment? He scored 40 already, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to pull himself out because he's afraid of the moment? He's injured.
Yeah.
Matt, I totally agree with you, but I think this has much to do with the fact that in times past he had injury issues because of weight and all that other kind of stuff. So that kind of
he's in pretty good shape now, bro.
Yeah, he looks in phenomenal shape, but that kind of filters in when you see, because I sincerely believe that if he stays in that game, we lose. Lakers lose that game. Zion was on fire in every aspect, defending, scoring, all that kind of stuff. So when he pulled his hamstring, it was a favor for the Lakers. But I think a lot of that is merit upon the injury.
It.
Yeah, you know.
I get it, but you know he's not pulling himself from the game too big. He was killing them.
I don't know, but listen, old heads, they have a tendency to think that if it happened to them, no way they would have pulled off the game. You can't do nothing with a hamstring. You pull a hamstring, you're through.
Because Barkley's pulled himself out of games because he's back.
By the way, those are two guys that were – criticized on a fairly regular basis for either being out of shape or too big
absolutely.
Not figuring out one part of their game that could have made them that much better. Shaq was still a dominant force. There's no question about that. And Chuck could score.
Chuck's been out of shape since he entered the world. Are you kidding me?
He's the what?
He's been out of shape since he entered the world.
Yeah, he lost weight here in the last year and a half.
Do you remember him at all?
I remember being in school, seeing him at the round mound of rebound.
Thinking,
how's that guy? And then he was so good.
He was a pulling guard playing basketball. Absolutely.
And you could sit there and say, what could he have been if he was lighter or whatever? I don't think
it mattered.
Yeah, it didn't matter because that guy, whatever he was given by the grace of God and the basketball gods, he went out and balled.
He utilized it, absolutely. Listen, I knew when Shaq was done, and he was done out of the shape when he was with the Boston Celtics, right?
Right.
He was backpedaling on like a steal to try, and he turned and fell down. And I swear to God, it took him 2 days to get up.
Said, and they had to rebuild the garden, right?
I said, it's over for the big fella.
Was he doing the wave defense,
bro,
too?
I mean, he was waddling and he, his body, and it took him like damn near 2 days to get up. I said, oh, God. And I was a Shaq. I love Shaq. Absolutely was a Shaq fan. But I said, man, Father Time is undefeated.
In the Sports Lounge, I have this beautiful piece that was Shaq as a rookie in an Orlando Magic uniform. Yeah. And it's kind of like, they call it like a lithograph or whatever. Anyway, it's a beautiful piece. And he looks like half of Shaq at the end of his life, at the end of his basketball life. Chiseled. Just that guy was a savage when he came into the association. Yeah. That could move and pretty much run for a big 7-footer back in the day that you just didn't see very often. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. All right, so let's start drilling down on the Jags as we count it down. Here we are Wednesday, so we are 8 days out. We will keep counting down the 17th pick overall, but there's so many layers of what's going on as far as what's happening with this football team, what's happening with the rest of the National Football League. But coming out of yesterday with the Trevor Lawrence conversation, what did you hear at the watering hole? Because, look, he said something that I think caught a lot of people off guard, which was the idea that Prescott was going to keep calling plays. But then he said a heck of a lot more beyond that about how this football team needs to turn a major corner. Now, the thing that struck me a little bit, Leon, is that I'm not being critical of Trevor because I want to see him have a banner year. I was expecting a banner year this last year, and he ended up, in the end, getting hurt and probably – would like to have a few throws and decisions back because even the scramble run on a Monday night, no one hit him and the ball came flying out of his hands. Remember that?
Yeah.
So he said all the right things in the presser yesterday, but how much different is this offseason going to be for Trevor based on the disappointment that came with the end of last season?
Well, I mean, as a player, we have a tendency to do this anyway. We reflect. You know, as much as you want to avoid the negativity that what happened last season, whatever, I mean, Trevor's got to reflect upon the fact that, first of all, he's got to take care of himself. Mm-hmm. I think there was at least two games he should have sat out, all right? He's got to take care of himself. Difference between being injured and hurt, you know? If he was injured, don't play. If you hurt, you can still gut it out and find a way to get it done.
Right.
All right? He got to take care of himself, first and foremost. Secondly, he's got to make sure that the organization puts people in front of him to protect him. All right, a la O-line, left tackle, right tackle, all the guys.
So he's got to let his voice be
heard. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Because his life is at stake, to be quite honest with you, with the way they protected him last year. And thirdly, he's got to take care of the football. He's got to take care of football. No more turnovers. Matt Hayes was telling us he's got 60 turnovers in 3 years, 20 a year, way too many. So, I mean, if you reflect upon the positive, okay, last year is last year, but you also have got to be accountable for what happened last year, and you got to make sure the organization knows, hey, I'm going to take care of myself. You need to put people around me to protect me, and then I'm going to take care of the football. So, I mean, if you put those things in place, because he's a hell of a talent. Can't anybody sit here and say that Trevor Lawrence is not a hell of a talent. He's absolutely have all the upside to be one of the all-time greats, but we don't see it enough.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it enough. I mean, if we can get the Trevor that played in the back end of 2022 – for the whole season, oh, we good. We great, I think.
That Trevor was protected fairly well.
He was protected very well.
And again, I'm the last guy to say, to use the excuse of injuries. And I always give Dave Campbell a lot of grief about that when he says that. Also, at the end of the day, Leon, and I agree with you, they need to play around the offensive line. He needs to demand that. I agree with that, all of that. At the end of the day, it's on him. He's got to play better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knows that. I mean, he's a big-time competitor. I think he knows that. So let's see what he does now. Now he's, now the adversity is here. The fork in the road has arrived. Let's see what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Does he become a better player? Does he work hard and become a better player? Or is he just a guy that just goes along for the ride?
And you got to remember also, too, last year after what he did in the playoffs against San Diego and going toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs, he was the media darling. He was the next coming. You said Prisco had him what? Favorite to win MVP. He was in the top 10 tiers. You know, but last year, that disappointment, no one's saying anything. Nobody's talking. Everybody's quiet. You're not saying anything. But you know who's getting all the attention now? C.J. Stroud. He's getting all the attention now. So, I mean, I'm a competitor.
I think he's a big time competitor.
Yeah, if I knew there was I played right tackle. So if I knew there was a right tackle in my conference, they felt that was better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got to go show you. And there was. Willie Anderson was a young up and coming talent in my division when I was playing. Mm-hmm. But at that time, he wasn't better than me. I had to go show it every Sunday, and I took it personally. Hell, I had a guy right across from me that if I didn't shine in Baselli, that I was exposed.
You know what's funny is he took it personally once last year. Yeah, then went into Houston
after the London game.
And played fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think you need every week from him. Mm-hmm. Every single week. That's I'm keeping receipts, Trevor, every single week. You know, he tweeted out, I got the receipts or whatever it was, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy I want. That run that came out of that was un-Trevor of him, wasn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. I want that dog Trevor. Yes,
yeah.
I want the dog Trevor too.
And I want him to. I want him to be an outward dog. I don't. You know, not every once in a blue moon show a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it, man. Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Because when you're like that, hang on, Joe. Yeah. And you can back this up, Tulane. When you're like that, when you are publicly like that, you're almost forcing yourself to play to that level. Are you not?
Mm-hmm. True. You're absolutely right. I agree with you.
Totally. Well, let's pair up what you said earlier, right before the show started, and we'll make this the 10-10 take. But first start off with the fact that just the idea of failing, that, you know, I'm not saying that Trevor has it in his head, but that drove you to not be a disappointment, to have to come back to your hometown and basically say that you weren't what you thought you were going to be, you know, that type of stuff, to quote Dennis Green.
Yeah. We were talking about this off the air before we came on. I said my biggest motivation when I was at school at Miami was not to come home back to Orlando as a failure, because I already had people who told me before I went to Miami that you weren't going to make it. Right. So I was motivated in the sense that I was going to make it, and I was driven by fear to make it. So I could prove those haters wrong.
Yeah, those SOBs wrong.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do the 10-10 take right now based on that.
Now, Joe C's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
It gets around mid-afternoon, you're thinking about, what am I going to have for dinner? Well, you can roll on through any one of your area Sonny's. You can pick it up. You can take it home. You can dine in. They will definitely take care of you. We're talking slow smoked and great barbecue, lunch, dinner, parties, catering, whatever it might be, check out any one of your area First Coast Sunnies. So, Trevor, based on what we just said, he's got to feel like he has got to turn that major corner. Well, now you got the Houston Texans that will be considered maybe the hunted, and Jacksonville's back on the prey. They need to get back to where they're controlling the AFC South. Well, how about this one? Will Anderson, now Texas defensive end, said that there were a lot of players at the Pro Bowl asking about coming to Houston and wanting to play for Coach DeMeco Ryans. That's how quickly things can turn if you create the look, the feel, the culture that players want to play under. And DeMeco Ryans probably does represent that, because DeMeco was a draft pick in the second round the same year Mario Williams went to Houston. And what happened? He ended up being the rookie of the year. So he is a guy that they are gravitating to. My point in the 10-10 take is that that's the team that everyone's talking about.
Well, yeah.
And they got people thinking that that could be their football destination. This team needs to take that back.
Yeah. Well, people have to understand that players communicate with each other off season, during the season. You know, they talk about the environment, the locker room, you know, the coaching staff, you know, all that kind of stuff. It transpires throughout the season and during the off season. You know, like just, hey, 4 years ago, you remember the issue with the Jaguars and Tom Coughlin and the whole thing about the fines and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff come out. The PA even put something out and said, don't go to Jacksonville at one particular time, because all that stuff going on. So that lets you know that how the players communicate. But right now, I mean, the hotbed to go to win games is the Texans, you know, because they got a lot of good going on. Head coach, you know, defensive front, you know, weapons on offense, C.J. Stroud, you know, up and coming. So all that. They got a lot of good going on paper
in
Texas.
Yeah, and that's what you got to do. You got to be able to take it back from them.
It's a little bit more than paper. It was more than paper. It's a little more than paper. Yeah. You got to admit that.
I say it on paper.
Yeah.
But you got a little good on paper. I mean, it looks good right
wrong.
Now.
How about that?
Well, I've been wrong before. Paper. I like to be proven wrong.
Were you proven wrong?
I'm talking about right now. No. See, that's what I'm saying. All the acquisitions happened this offseason. It looks real good on paper.
That's the paper.
That's the paper you're talking about. All right,
exactly.
I thought you just meant in general.
No, I'm saying right now, all the acquisitions that they've made in the offseason.
Yeah, they look good.
Looks good on paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so now there's an opportunity to see if this football team can take it back, and how are they going to take it back? How's it going to go down? The draft is going to be a big part of it because both have basically taken their big swings in the free agency world, and it appears, at least right now, on paper, to Leon's point, that the Danielle Hunter acquisitions, the Danico Autrys, the Joe Mixons, the Diggs, the on and on, that makes it sound like on top of an AFC South title that team has done a lot of work. Duval, you got your chance. You can do this. You did some work, too, in the offseason.
I was just going to say to Leon, how's the Jaguars' paper look this offseason?
It looks okay. I mean, listen, we don't know how – free agents are always – just like the draft. Free agents
but is it
are,
just on paper?
It's just on paper.
Right.
Window shopping.
Yeah, window shopping. That's
exactly.
Right
now.
That's what
yes.
I was waiting for, the window shopping.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Now, speaking of the window shopping, which is what Big Surge refers to when he's looking down at the Miami Hurricanes with Cam Ward piloting the Canes' comeback. And he looks good as the signal caller for the first year for him down there in Coral Gables. But that transfer portal is red hot. So let's touch on that coming up because it's everywhere. And I'm looking left and right yesterday. And it was just constant as far as what was going on. But real quick, let's play. Do you have that Aaron Beasley soundbite? Because we're going to talk transfer portal, and then we're going to talk about the Jaguars 8 days away. Has their opinion changed exactly where they're going to go with that 17th pick overall? We had Aaron Beasley in with us in the 3 o'clock hour yesterday, and he went through his draft day and all the experience of when he first came up out of West Virginia and came here. But as a defensive back, he immediately identified the number one concern for the Jaguars and where they should be looking when it comes to that 17th pick overall.
I look at it like this, just because of the situation with Cam, been in and out lately, injuries, a little older. I mean, even if we get a guy to develop behind him and that maybe can go and transition into the lineup, because there's going to be some big boys left. I like them boys from Georgia. And the one from Alabama, Latham. Yeah. I think Latham can move, man. That dude. He put some hands on him. That's it. But we need a dog. I don't know who to be, but we need to protect Trevor is my main thing.
True.
You know, because if you look at last year, the inconsistency of the line is the whole problem.
And you cannot argue with that. So that's what Bees had to say yesterday. You guys let us know what you got to say today. Hit the text line, Designed by Lifetime Enclosure, 641-1010. Are we starting to churn in that offensive line direction a little bit more with the Jaguars 8 days away from the draft? We'll do it all coming up on a Golf Club of Southampton Wednesday.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. Who lit it up last night? Brought to you by American-Electrical.com.
Season eyes 38 Williamson driving inside. Shot clock at 7.
Look at this.
He's slippery inside.
If he's not playing against Sacramento, they might not have a chance. But if he is going to play, you know, he's a little sore. You just got to, you know, push through it.
Yeah, but I don't know if you can push through a hamstring.
You can. Icy hot.
A hamstring, that's one of those worst injuries you can get.
Icy hot.
Well, Icy hot, Chico. Come on. But, yeah, elimination game for the Pelicans. Last night, you would say Zion did light it up. That's for sure. American Electrical, if you want to get – well, you can see all the features that they offer to you, powered by professionalism, and they certainly can light up your world. Make sure you check them out, American-Electrical.com. But Zion, that's a, you know, check your gut kind of feeling. So we'll see what happens Friday night. We'll say I think we'll just see whether or not it's a significant enough of an injury.
You know when y'all ever had a hamstring pull?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It hurts hell.
It's bad.
It's bad. If you pull it good, you're talking about weeks before you can do anything.
You're not walking, you're running 90 feet.
I'm not talking about a strain. Hamstring strain, you
right?
Know. But if you pulled your hamstring, you're out.
Yeah, I had a major one in high school, and then later on in life, got the teenage boys. We're up in Philadelphia. cold Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to go from Philly to New York.
Yeah.
And we're up Thanksgiving night, and who knows, I might have had a couple of, cold Bud Lights.
Maybe.
So we go out to this open field. We're in Havertown, right outside of, downtown Philly. Anyway, we're running around, throwing the football around, playing a little touch ball with the teenage sons, and I'm trying to show off, and it's wet, starting to rain a little bit. Anyway, I slide, and my hamstring just blows up.
Wow.
And so TLD's looking at me like,
you
what
idiot.
Have you done? She said, if you ruin my trip to New York. So we get on the Peter Pan, and we take a two-hour jaunt to New York City. We get out at Penn Station. We've got our luggage. We're going to go stay at the Waldorf. This is like a big trip and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, I'm limping my whole way through New York, and she's looking at me like, you are not dragging me down. 2 or 3 days later, we come back from my butt cheek to the back of my knee, black and blue.
Wow.
I had torn it up, some kind of bad. She might have felt sorry for me just a little bit then. Mm. But, I tore it something awful. All right, now, the transfer portal. Is it tearing up college football, college sports, something awful? Let's get to this, Matt, before we get back to the Jags in the draft. But we expected this. April 16th, you announced that it is going to be fast and furious or hot and heavy, however you want to describe it. I'm looking around yesterday, and I'm seeing a bunch of big pieces of news that are breaking on X.
Yeah, it's I don't know that it's at the level of elite players. There's one elite player out there, but everyone knows where he's going. It's Caden Proctor. There's more than one. There's probably two or three.
By the way, Caden Proctor enters the transfer portal from Alabama to Iowa and then back to Alabama, and it says – what did it say?
Do not contact. There's a little button you can click on in the portal. It says do not contact.
That's
for guys who basically know where they're going.
Yeah.
Riley Leonard did it when he left Duke because he knew he was going to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Sam Hartman did it a year before because he knew he was going to Notre Dame when he left Wake Forest. So this happens all the time. And Caden Proctor did click that thing because obviously he's going back to Alabama. But there are guys there. I would say the first five or six would start for any team in the state, actually, in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Damian Martinez is a legit running back from Oregon State. Deion Hayes is a legit defensive lineman from Pitt. Andrew Chambly is a guy that potentially, he's just a mammoth kid.
Okay.
Could be a left tackle or right tackle for anyone. Elijah Herring left Tennessee. He was their leading tackler last year. So there are guys. Jacoby Matthews is a terrific defensive back from Texas A&M. These guys are legit starters that can impact teams. Now, they may not be like names where you're like, oh, yeah, I know that dude.
Mm-hmm.
But these are legit guys that are leaving a program with, 3.5 months, 4 months to go before fall practice begins.
Okay.
And they'll be eligible immediately wherever they go.
Yeah. And so everyone's looking around.
Mm-hmm.
This is truly window shopping right now. And players are doing it to teams. Teams are doing it to players.
Now, the process is like recruiting again. Once they hit the portal, they go visit.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I'll give you another one. Keandre Lambert-Smith from Penn State.
Yeah.
That's a dude, wide receiver.
Really?
He's a Keon Coleman-type dude.
Okay.
And that's a guy Florida State's going after.
Mm-hmm.
I think Florida might be going after him, too. But that's a he's 6'1", 190, 195 pounds, a legit receiver.
Uh-huh.
No.
So there are guys out there that can impact teams.
Okay.
Just because you're not seeing, like, I don't know, I'm just going to throw it out there. Mm-hmm. Like Garrett Nussmeyer, who's not transferring, I'm just throwing his name. You're not seeing a name like that out there. It doesn't mean these aren't guys that will immediately impact teams.
So let me reflect on that. So we're dealing with most of these kids are 4 and 5 star kids that are probably in the portal. Let's just say they are. Most of them are 4 or 5 star kids, and
some of them will say
so they came into their school respectively,
right?
Highly recruited, highly recognized, and then all of a sudden, not all, but most, maybe they weren't shown the love that they thought they deserved at that particular school. So they go to another school.
You say shown the love, I say they got beat out. That's all.
Okay, well, yeah, they got beat out. You absolutely they got beat out. So they go to another school to kind of feel like the way they felt when they were being recruited.
Yes.
When they hit the portal.
Yes.
Basically. All right.
They want to feel the love, Leon.
Okay. All right.
Instead of just looking in the mirror, pointing at it and saying, you're the problem.
That's what I was getting to. At one particular – now, I love the portal. I like the opportunity that kids are
– So do I.
But here's the thing that I have a problem with is that you go from team to team, portal to portal, year in and year out. At what particular time as a player do you just look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? You're the problem. It's not the school. It's not the coaching. It's not the weightlifting coach. It's not the game plan. You're the problem.
Right, but the unlimited transfer kind of prevents players from doing that. If they are there and they can only transfer once, and if you transfer again, you have to sit out a year, it's a lot more difficult to just walk away. At that point, you're where you are, and the only way you're going to get to where you want to be is by looking in the mirror and saying you're the problem.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I have a problem with the portal is because, it gives a kid an opportunity to escape themselves.
Yes,
because at some point, you got to look in the mirror and say, you know what? You're the problem. You got beat out because of you.
Yes. I've been saying this forever now, for a year. It's player movement. You know, initially it was the NIL and everybody saying, oh, these guys shouldn't make money, which is so fascinating to me that grown men are upset that young men are making money. It's just ridiculous. It's not about money. Coaches don't care about the money. Athletic directors don't care about the money.
I love when people that get money say it's not about the money. That always
But it's not, Joe. It's about player movement. That's the problem. And the player movement, it's not just for the university. It's also for the fans. They don't like the player movement either. They want to know who's on their team. You kind of grow with your team and your players.
Right.
And that's honestly, how you get connected to your university. That's not a
bad thing to want.
Right. So my point is when you finally start to share that media rights revenue, when they start to collectively bargain, then you're going to eliminate this movement. Then the movement ends.
Yeah. And you hope that that's the case because it will give the coach the best way to know what his roster looks like, what he's got to do. Like, in other words, if I know I got Big Surge plugged in at right tackle, I don't need to go out and recruit a bunch of right tackles to replace him next year or next month. That's all the coach is looking for. And the fan who loves Leon wants to see him come back and play wearing the team's uniform.
I mean, here's the reason why I got frustrated, because I was telling you this story off the air, is because I know every player probably in that portal has probably had this conversation. I remember my redshirt freshman year, I was at Miami, all right? Our offensive coordinator was Gary Stevenson, all right? Gary Stevenson came up to me one day after practice and said, Leon, he said, you're big, you're physical, you're talented, you run well. He said, you could be a hell of an offensive lineman here at the University of Miami, but you'll never play for me. He said, because you bust assignments, you jump on sides, and too many mental errors. He said, fix those or you won't play. And you know, if there was a point.
That's a dagger, bro.
It was, but I needed that.
That cut you to the white
meat. It cut me to the white meat, absolutely. But, hey, listen, guess what I did? I fixed it.
Yeah.
I took it upon myself after practice to do what I needed to do to make sure I didn't have those same mistakes.
Yeah.
And I went on to have a, pretty decent year in Miami.
Said to yourself, that ain't going to be me.
Exactly.
Okay.
Honestly, to be fair to some of these coaches, like, a majority of them, you know, if Joe Cowart's like, he's a 4-star safety.
Out of St. Joe, you better believe it.
Yeah,
I was.
And he, 4-5-40, you got it. And it just doesn't click for him for whatever reason as a freshman. But those coaches realize this dude can play. He's just got to get it. Mm-hmm. They don't want him to go away. They've invested a year in him. They want to keep him because they see, Joe Cowart can be a decent safety for us. Mm-hmm. Maybe even a really good safety
for us. I just feel like every coach wants to put their mitts and mind on a player to shape them as a human being,
Of course they
as
do.
A football player, as a physical, talented player, and a mentally strong player. They want to put their mitts on their mind and the body. And it just they don't have the time to do it. They don't know what they can count
in
on.
In this situation, they don't. You're right.
From month to month, year to year. And like I saw yesterday, I was not surprised. I tweeted out on X, shocked. That Cormani McClain went from where? Where did he start? Committed to Miami?
He committed to Miami initially, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe to Florida initially, then to Miami.
Yeah.
And then to Colorado.
Yeah, and then went to Colorado, and now he's back in the transfer portal. On the text line, one of our listeners lets us know, which I did not know this, Cormani McClain has already been reduced to USF per reports. And so here's a guy that was one of the most talked about guys.
Top 5 player.
Yeah. Top 5 in the country, and he's already at least been linked to a couple of schools before he actually went to Colorado.
He's also the perfect example of what I'm talking about. Dion would love that kid to stay. Not because he's a 5-star talent, but Dion sees the talent in him, number one. And number two, look, last year he was asked about, why is Cormani McClain not playing? You know what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't show up to meetings. He doesn't show up on time to meetings when he comes to meetings, doesn't go to class, doesn't watch tape. They have the iPads now where when you watch tape, they know who watches tape.
Mm-hmm.
He said, why would I play this kid? Why would I put him on the field if he doesn't watch tape?
Right.
So But that's a classic example of a kid who, for whatever reason, didn't work as a freshman, but he has talent. And Deion, the former corner himself, could work with that kid. And by his sophomore year or junior year, he could be the talent that everybody thought he could be.
Yeah, but, you know, unfortunately, that kid's biggest obstacle is himself.
Right, and now, and that's my point. Now with these new rules, the kid just says, screw this. It's all Deion. It's not me. And he's out.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, because you're talking about an amazing talent, five-star talent that everybody won in the country. And until he fixes himself, he's gonna look 5 years down the road. I hope he gets his life together. Absolutely. I hope he finds himself in the right situation. I hope the switch turns on. I hope he goes on to have an amazing career, not only collegiately, but for professionally. But if it doesn't, in 5 years from now, he's going to live with regrets because he's going to be able to – I don't know if he would admit it, but he's going to say to himself, I ruined me. It ain't going to be the school, this and that, whatever. It's going to be him. So, I hope he turns on the switch.
I mean, we blame it on youth, honestly. But, bro, if NFL players were allowed to move year to year, they'd do the same thing.
You better believe it.
Same thing.
A transfer portal in the NFL would be nuts.
You'd have the same guy saying, well, I didn't get a fair share. I'm going here. Yeah. And that's – so to my point, my next question to you was, the switch gets flipped in the NFL too, does it not?
Yeah.
You could struggle your first year, 2 years in a contract, and all of a sudden, bang, it hits.
Yeah, you just got to be disciplined enough. I mean, because the daily routine of fixing yourself, it has to be every day. Every day. And you're not going to be inspired to fix it. When I remember I was at Pittsburgh when I wasn't playing my first year, and I had to fix myself to get myself.
You were in the stands at one point.
I was in the stands.
Watching the game.
I was pissed off that day. But but I'm saying, there's no one to inspire you. You've got to motivate yourself. And then when you get that opportunity, you got to maximize it.
Yeah. Yahtzee. Amen to that. All right, you guys hit the text line 641-1010 if you've been paying attention to the transfer portal and how it may affect your team. We at least have a handful of names we'll throw out. And we talked play caller yesterday here in Jacksonville. And there's also a play caller in Gainesville that wants you to know he's still going to do it. So you Jag Gators, you have one yesterday. You'll have one today. We'll play a soundbite from Billy Napier coming up in just a bit as far as his decision goes. We got plenty more coming. It's XL Primetime thanks to the Golf Club of Southampton. Don't forget 287 play. Get on the tee sheet this afternoon. You got food afterwards, a great nine-hole game, prizes. Just come on out. It's a gorgeous night. 287 play, and come on out for the 9 after 5 at the Golf Club of Southampton.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers. Our next guest is not affiliated with the NFL or Jacksonville Jaguars.
Discussion of injuries is solely based on opinion.
Now, the Bari Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Injury Breakdown.
I'm coming in hot.
You hear that music? You know Dr. George Bari is in the house. Gio, I like to call him. Gio, how you doing, man?
Good, man.
Listen, I feel like I can just take over the segment because I am a radio doctor.
Right.
But I realize that there's times when people need to hear from you, okay? So, XL Primetime, if you have any sports injuries, all you have to do is hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. Dr. George Bari, fellowship trained under the renowned Dr. James Anders. He can definitely help you. Matter of fact, I think we have one or two questions from last week that we can get into. So let's make sure that we jump in and ask a couple. But I want to start off with Tiger Woods. Okay, now Tiger, and this is, look, Gio, as much as we can pound on him, you know, the guy's won 15 majors. You know that, right?
Yes.
He's won 15 majors.
You tell me all the time.
And he was 15 over par at Augusta. Okay, how bad is that? Now, listen, I'm not going to ask you to break down his golf game, but the one thing that I want to, at the very least, get you to touch on is the fact that Mark Carnevale made this point when we talked earlier this week on XL Primetime. This is the first time in 2 years, Gio, that he has played 4 full rounds of golf.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that's good for him that he has the endurance to do that. But we always talk about his injuries, one, his back, which he's had in the past, and now the ankle and the leg issue. And we see him limping a lot, and we discussed this before and how well we think he was going to do. And, you know, I think logically everyone thought he wasn't going to do so well and obviously didn't do that great. But, you know, with the surgery that he's had and everything, I think it's going to be tough for him.
All right, I'm going to ask you about the fused.
The fused.
I was going to say the fused. the fused bones. But, Maddie, 2021 was when this car crash went down,
right.
Okay? And it took him, I think, a bit of time to come back, to even come back. And we'll get Gio to describe this ankle again, how they fused it all together. But 2021, it's been a minute. He's been through hell.
Gio, you did tell us, like, his ankle was on the tray next to the
operating
table,
is the talus was just hanging out. You know,
and explain what the talus is again.
So talus is the bone right under the tibia, right under your shin bone. So it's the bone underneath the shin bone, the tibia.
The ball?
So you have your calcaneus, which is your heel, and on top of that is the talus, and then on top of that is your tibia, which is your shin. He had a subtalar fusion, so he had a fusion of the joint below the talus. So your tibiotalar joint, so your tibia and where your talus meet, that makes your ankle go up and down.
Right.
But the joint below the talus, called the subtalar joint, makes your ankle go left and right, inversion, eversion, or like when you sprain your ankle, right, and it twists, that's the subtalar joint. He had a fusion, and you do a fusion for people who have severe pain, right? Because how do you stop a joint from hurting? You don't let the joint move. And how do you do that? You fuse it together. So he had a fusion, which will prevent the lateral and medial motion of that ankle, which in golf, I think you do have a lot of that when you do your swing, right? You kind of twist your ankle.
So he's trying to drive off of the right ankle, and then most of his knee problems happened on the left side.
Because he's compensating, right?
Because that's where, well, actually, it's so funny because the knee was the first thing I think that went bad for Tiger. Because
before or after the accident?
Way before. Because 2008... Remember, he said he was walking on one leg. He was so dramatic when he won the U.S. Open out of Torrey Pines. But a right-handed golfer, everything finishes on the left side. So he creates all this torque, and everything is coming through the left side of the body.
But it doesn't help. Yeah, and it doesn't help when your ankle can't turn like it should turn.
No, because now
other body parts are going to have to do. You're going to have to change your swing, and other body parts are going to have to go into angles that they normally wouldn't because your ankle can't.
I mean, walking, seriously. For typical people, walking would have been difficult after that,
correct.
Right?
Well, I mean, one, his injury, yes. But for walking, your subtalar joint is left and right. Walking is up and down. So in theory, you can move your ankle up and down, no problem, which is what walking is. It's the lateral medial motion that he has.
But the more lateral medial that you do, that in turn stresses the walk as well, right? Like, it all comes together.
So anytime you do a fusion, and we see this a lot in the spine, whenever you fuse something, the joints around it are going to have more stress.
Right.
That's well, yeah. No.
And so to Matt's point, that was the quote from Tiger coming into last week. He said, the other parts of my body that now have to take the brunt of it is also something
That's proven. That's 100%. You always hear people say, don't operate on your spine because you're going to get done again in the future. That's because when you fuse one area, the other parts are going to get worn down quickly, and over time, they're going to wear out and then need a surgery.
All right, 641-1010. If you have a sports injury, you can hit Dr. George Barry with it. We'll try and get it on the air. I know we want to bring up Zion Williamson, but I want to bring up this one that came in from last week, all right? So this is, I'm 36. I was skateboarding this past Saturday. No impact when my knee popped. I was midair, pulled my leg back to kick the board out from under me, and my knee popped.
Yeah.
No swelling, no tenderness, but certain angles, my knee is uncomfortable, and I can't squat down. Any ideas?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a meniscus tear. Anytime you feel a pop when you're bending your knee, it could be a meniscus tear.
Right.
And then when you have a posterior meniscus tear, squatting causes pain because you have a rollback mechanism where your femur will pinch on that meniscus. So that's just based on the sounds of that, that's what I would think about, that it possibly could be a meniscus tear.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So I know we had something else that you wanted to say. I want to go because it's kind of Jags related.
Yeah.
So Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner from Alabama, he has a Jones fracture. He admitted he had one. They seen tests and everything, the NFL people. He runs a 4.41 40 at the combine. Or at his pro day it was, right?
Yeah, pro day.
At his pro day. How do you run a 4.41 40 with a Jones fracture?
But he was healed, wasn't he?
No.
No, he said he was going to go do the procedure after that.
He's doing the procedure after. He literally has the fracture.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean.
So number one, how do you do it? And number two, is that a concern moving forward? Like, if they were considering drafting him, what's the process of healing there?
Right. I don't think it's a concern because he's young. It should heal just fine. I wouldn't be too worried about this thing not healing, to be honest. Now, him running, I don't know if you can inject lidocaine so you numb it up a little bit, but he just grunted it and ran. You know what I mean? It's going to hurt. And he was just able to get through it.
So let's say he's had this surgery. I don't know if he has or not, but let's say he has, Joe, because he said he was going to have it right after the pro day. Would he be ready for training camp?
When does that start?
In late July?
What do we know? April? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Because we're talking 6 weeks, something in that neighborhood. Yeah. All right, real quick. Major. I don't know if RJ has the sound, but Zion Williamson comes out of the game last night against the Lakers, and everyone immediately afterwards reacted to it like, bro, this is an important flipping game, and you're coming out, to which led Shaq to say, when he saw that it was called, leg soreness, lower leg soreness?
Yeah, something like that.
Rub some icy hot on that thing, Chico.
Yeah, and he got paid like $10 million more to say it on TV.
Yeah, because that is his product that he pitches. And then Charles Barkley. And then Barkley goes, I'm not sure I would have come out of that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say, but you don't know how people feel. You know, it's easy for us to be like, why is he? I can't believe he's not playing. But if you're hurt, I mean, you would think a competitive athlete would do whatever he can to play, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go by that assumption. So.
Yeah, really. We don't know. We'll find out.
We don't. My guess is
what is it, Friday night?
My guess he's not hurt. He was injured would be my guess.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between being hurt and being injured.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And look, the Lakers won, and people were saying they shouldn't have won the game because they'd rather not see the Nuggets early. You got to go see them. You got to go play them straight up. It's exactly how it's going to go down. All right, Gio, thank you as always.
Thanks, guys.
1010XL.com.
Yep.
Where else?
Apple, Google, Spotify for the podcast.
Yep, you can find Breaking Bones. If you have a question, you can shoot it to us, and we'll make sure that we get it on Sunday morning, 7:30. All right, so if we did miss him, we'll get to him for sure. We've got James Stewart coming up in the 3 o'clock hour at 3:15. He's a guy that Trader Tom, that was the nickname TC got because he was on the move, moving up, and we're going to talk to James Little Man Stewart, get an idea of what it was like to be drafted high in the 1995 draft. We'll do all that coming up. Golf Club of Southampton Wednesday right here on XL Primetime.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
We have got the 17th pick that we count down daily coming up because we're going to talk draft with you, Jacksonville Jaguars, the Golf Club of Southampton. Happy to bring you today's show. Welcome into the 3 o'clock hour, Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Circe. Leon was a first-round draft pick back in the day, and we're going to talk to another one coming up here in just a little bit. But the 17th pick, as we're counting them down, I'm going to get RJ to roll the most recent one because we're getting closer and closer. RJ, are we now on to 2017? Is that correct, sir? As we count them down. So by the time we get to next Thursday, we're going to be down to decision day for your Jacksonville Jaguars. But let's hit it right now, back in 2017.
With the 17th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins select Jonathan Allen, defensive end, Alabama.
All right, so back-to-back Crimson Tide members coming out. And Jonathan Allen is the newest member of Washington.
I think that's a steal.
90 seconds left, second down and 8. Does Josh Dobbs have a playmaker out there? He pumps and he runs right into a sack, and big Jonathan Allen didn't have to do a whole lot. He just put his body in the way.
It's so funny. How middle round selections have we heard with that 17th pick overall, Leon? That have all hailed from Alabama. It's just another big man. And that dude was living in the middle up in Washington from the time they were the Redskins to now the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, they went from Redskins, Washington football team, and the Commanders.
Yeah, back then, I mean, Alabama was the pipeline. I mean, when you win 6 titles out of 12 years, NFL teams will come knocking.
I'll tell you what, you talk just strictly the BCS / playoff era.
Mm-hmm.
He might be the best defensive lineman in that era. He was. Oh, my God. His last year there at Alabama. You remember him jumping, like, and leaping and tackling? Who was that? That was that had to have been – who was the LSU quarterback then?
17. That would have been that big cat. I got to think about it. 2 years before Burrow.
He made plays on the field that a guy his size should not be able to make. And I'm talking just college now, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think he's been a pretty good pro player, too. But man, it's in the BCS / playoff era, so we're not going back to like the SAP days and all that.
Right.
But I don't think there was a better D lineman.
And Ndamukong Suh?
I mean, Ndamukong Suh was great, but
I would put Ndamukong out there.
I probably would too.
But Jonathan Allen was just, I don't think Ndamukong played during the
He played in the BCS era. But Dom can also, I mean, let's be fair.
He played
the Big 12. He was a complete terror.
He could have played anywhere. He could have played there.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you, but all I'm saying is Jonathan Allen was a grown
ass man. Yeah, I remember he was. Absolutely, yeah.
That was a dude that if you didn't double team, same with Ndamukong Suh, if you didn't double team him, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, but the other thing that we could at least think about here just for a second, Leon, and yesterday we had Keanu Neal. We've had C.J. Mosley. We've had Eric Armstead. We have had, as I'm just kind of scanning back and taking a look at some of the other ones, Drake Kirkpatrick. There's just a ton of them. Nate Solder, that 17th pick overall. This team should net a good player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, guys fall in drafts all the time. I mean, we might be for hell. Josh Allen fell in our lap. We were at what, 7 when we picked Josh Allen. But I mean, guys, they teeter in the draft and they stumble and fall, and maybe someone falls in our lap. But maybe we get the guy that we want. I mean, I'm not sure what the draft board looks over there at the stadium, but you know, listen, I told you, as long as I get my big three, right? I need a lineman, I need a wideout, and I need a DB. I don't care what order it's in. Well, I kind of do. But
yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. I like to see the big man go first.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't know how quickly we're gonna go through these. I'm gonna give you right now at least where the guys are at, the top six linemen that are being thrown out there right now. But real quick, since we did bring it up, RJ, let's do with that just so we can let people know the latest as far as the Pelicans. Go Pelicans!
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So we were sitting there wondering what would happen with Zion. We had Gio in here earlier talking about it, and I do agree that, you know, the guy he's been a little bit of a poster boy for being injured, but he has had a healthy year, and he was balling last night. Bottom line is, this is from Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, saying that Zion Williamson is out for Friday's play-in tournament elimination game versus Sacramento will be evaluated again in coming weeks.
Mm. So yeah, he's got a pulled hamstring.
Right. Translation, he's injured.
He's injured.
Oh, like I said.
I mean, because if you had a hamstring strain, you could ice it, you could stem it, you could stretch it, you know, warm, whatever you need to do. Maybe you could play on it with a wrap. But if you got a pull, you're done. It's a wrap.
Yeah, and like I said, I wasn't calling him out. I'm just saying the man has a fairly significant injury history that at times will be brought up more than anything else. I don't know how else to say it.
Here's another thing, too. And I'm not saying he's better than LeBron. He was the best player on the court last night. He's not walking off the court if he's hurt.
Yeah, one of them he's walking off if he's injured. The other one, basically.
Right.
So, yeah. And by the way, LeBron, at his age, is still doing a tremendous amount of work.
Yep.
And the triple-double the other night, we're talking over 38 years of age. They ain't too many that have been able to do what he's been able to do. So, yeah, it's a totally different dynamic for LeBron now versus Zion. Should be soaring right now.
AD had no answer for him. Literally no answer for him last night.
No. And they, you know where your point producers are going to come from. And they, I'm sure when the Lakers were breaking this bad boy down, we're going to give him his. We're going to make sure we neutralize the rest of them. You know, that type of thing. But they were able to get through it. And they were down in this game and came back and took care of business. And, yes, Zion going out definitely had something to do with it as well. All right, so back to the conversation that we were having as far as the big men are concerned. Because how many offensive linemen, Matt, do you think will realistically go in the first round of this year's draft? Because you can start with however you want to start, but Joe Alt is generally speaking the top guy that's mentioned most. Leon, rattle off the ones you got in your head right now.
Well, Alt, of course. Mm-hmm. And then what's the guy's name?
Yeah, Joe
Penn
Alt
State?
Out of Notre Dame.
Fashanu
from Penn State. Fashanu
from Penn State. And then
Fuanga.
And then I was thinking Mims.
Would you go Amaris Mims or J.C. Latham?
J.C., I think both might go.
Okay.
May go. That's
Mims,
five.
Mims might go in the first. You're right. Yeah. Late in the first.
So that's five. So you got five right there.
And then you're going to put Guyton?
What about the kid from Oklahoma?
I would think JPJ goes in the first round.
JPJ, okay.
I would think that Graham Barton goes in the first round, the kid at Duke. How many is that now?
That's seven. That's seven linemen.
Yeah.
What about the kid from Oklahoma?
Guyton? Maybe not.
Maybe not. Second round.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's a legit
so
seven.
So the cutoff would be right around six.
Okay. Seven. I think seven, yeah.
Seven. Do you think seven?
I wouldn't be shocked at all with seven.
And you're including JPJ in that conversation.
I am. And Graham Barton, the guard from Duke.
Yeah. It's funny because JPJ has kind of gone up and down people's draft boards, and he's around that 30 to 40 range in a lot of people's mocks. And it doesn't mean he can't be moved up. Doesn't mean when we do our mock tomorrow, I'll remind everybody, we did our mocks. First C-plus grade I got from the mock draft site that we go to was picking JPJ 17th overall.
Yeah.
All the other –
Well, I mean, you look at a team like the Baltimore Ravens who lost their left tackle in free agency. I mean, that might be a position. That might be someone they may take in the later rounds, in the late first round.
Yeah, I mean, that's – yes, 100% yes. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I mean, somebody may like Tyler Guyton. He could go in the first round. Yeah. There's any question about that.
Because I'm looking at Graham Barton and Tyler Guyton as basically, and we can go with any of these rankings, one site versus another. They're not all 100% perfect. But Graham Barton, 313 pounds, 6'5", runs a 5'4", 40, 313 pounds. You go to Tyler Guyton. And Guyton is right behind him just as far as, you know, one of these prospects listings is concerned. And he's a guy who is 322 pounds. He's 6'8", runs a 5'19". I don't know.
That's moving.
I mean, Jordan Morgan, the kid from Arizona, there are guys that have him mocked in the first round now.
Okay.
He's a 6'5", 315-pound guard.
And by the way, off of this NFL Draft Buzz site that I'm looking at, JPJ is ninth in this total group. Who was the guy you just mentioned?
Jordan Morgan.
Yeah, Jordan Morgan's 10th. Cooper Beebe's 11th. Mm. And you guys have mocked Beebe quite a bit.
Somebody's going to take our boy in the end of the first round. You wait and see.
Yeah, but
Beebe?
There's no way. Look, there's no way. Okay. That's going to be.
Okay. All I know is I watch his tape, and the dude just kills people.
The Ravens may take him.
Well, true. But what was the thing we said yesterday? 19 offensive players is being.
Yeah, 19 offensive players could set a record for next week.
So let's say the seven offensive linemen.
Seven linemen.
And then you've got five quarterbacks. That's 12.
Again, that's ambitious again. Five.
Is it?
Okay, that includes Bo Nix. That's
right.
Ambitious.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Bo Nix.
You don't think that maybe Denver takes him with
not that high. They ain't taking Bo Nix that high.
We'll see. They get desperate.
I don't think so.
I mean, who does he
once that run starts, bro.
No, don't get me wrong. He's not
crazy.
Breeze, but as far as Sean Payton goes, I mean – doesn't he remind you of Breeze a little bit?
It's so funny.
In Sean Payton's eyes?
If Sean Payton is ready to crack the helmet of Russ Wilson for not listening, what is he going to do to – like, Bo Nix is a tireless worker, but Bo Nix doesn't necessarily get all the reads and decision-making in the NFL as soon as he steps on to an NFL football field. That will drive Sean Payton crazy.
All right, so let's say 5 and 7. Let's say 12, okay? Can we agree on that? We'll just say 12.
Okay.
Just the quarterback and offensive line. Then you go to the wide receivers. All right. Marvin Harrison Jr. is 13. Malik Nabers, 14. Adunzi, 15. Brian Thomas, 16. Ladd McConkey, 17.
And then put Bowers in there. If you're going to put McConkey
Bowers,
in there.
Bowers, 18. How about A.D. Mitchell?
Yeah, that's close. Yeah.
How about someone taking a chance on Xavier Worthy when he ran the 4-2?
Yeah, I think, now all of a sudden it sounds like what Dick Vitale does. If all these guys are going in the first round, Michael Jordan's going to be playing in Europe. All right, so let's get ready for James Stewart. We'll say hello to him, find out what his thoughts were when he was selected in that top round. Coming up on XL Primetime.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
You know, it's so funny that everyone says first-round draft pick 1995. What do they say, Leon? They say Tony Boselli.
Tony Boselli, yeah.
Much-ignored man was selected 19th overall. I think he should wear a T-shirt, I don't know, a tattoo that says, I was selected in the first round by the Jaguars in 1995 as we welcome in James Littleman Stewart. James, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Doing great. Do you ever have to say, hey, wait a dang minute. It wasn't just Tony in the first round. It was me, too.
No, I don't worry about stuff like that. I know where I was selected.
Yeah, you know you were a top 20 pick, that's for sure. Now, listen, we're looking forward to what's going to happen with the 17th pick overall, but just take us back in time and what was that day like? Because this was a brand-new franchise. I'm sure you've had to tell the story before. But give Jaguar fans an idea of what it was like back in 1995 coming out of Tennessee and hearing your name called.
Well, I mean, it was exciting, of course, but, you know, I stayed home with my family. Mm-hmm. It's what we did at my mom and dad's house. And, you know, I was a football fan. My dad was a fan. He came up from Cleveland, Ohio, you know, was a Cleveland Browns fan. So, I mean, I knew about the culture and I knew about, you know, all the history of all the teams. But when I got drafted by the Jaguars, when I got on the phone with Coach Coughlin, there was no history. There was no thing to point to. So that was kind of an interesting time for me. As I've seen the NFL be over my years of watching it, there was no history and whatever. So I was trying to figure out as a young man, well, I'm going to this place where there's not been a stadium. There's no team. What is this? So it was a lot of confusion at first. But like I said, as I got here, got with the team, got with the organization, we built things from ground up. Now you realize, you know, how special that time was.
Hey, James, did TC tell you that the workouts were mandatory or voluntary?
No, it's mandatory, but you know that. It's always mandatory. That ain't no question.
hey, James. Hey, listen, both of us went through the process of what we had to do to get to the draft. I always tell the stories about, you know, the my final game, the work combine and all that kind of stuff. Give the people a little bit of the process that you had to get to the point with the draft. Because a lot of people just look at the draft but don't understand the whole process of getting to that point.
Sure. Well, that process starts when you first you finish up your last game in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that process of going to all the Senior Bowl, you know, going to the combine, working out for all these scouts and all these GMs, you know, getting looked at by doctors from head to toe, and then, you know, going and doing your own pro day so that you can even show them even further what they will be looking for, what they will be getting in a player like you. And then the process of actually getting to that day of being drafted. It's just an exciting time. As a kid, I never even thought about playing in the NFL. I watched the NFL, and I enjoyed it with my father, but I never thought of past the next week. I always thought about what's happening to me right now. So when I got to that point, all that was new. But there's a lot of steps that go into it before you reach the point of being your name being called. And there's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of things that have to go, you know, behind the scenes that people don't recognize. And it's taxing and it's tiring. But when it's all said and done, it's worth it. And you just enjoy the moment that you're in.
Now, James, when you went through that whole process, were there any other teams that you visited, or do you kind of figure were looking at you at that particular point, or was it just the Jaguars? I'm sure there were other teams.
No. I was, you know, if you remember, Jaguars jumped up 10 spots. Mm-hmm. They had the 32nd pick. After Tony, they had the 32nd pick. He jumped up 10 spots and drafted me. But I thought the last team that I worked out for was the San Francisco 49ers, and if you remember, Ricky Running Waters was there, and he had left that year, and they needed to fill that spot. And so I thought I was definitely going to the 49ers. But like I said, Jacksonville jumped up and got me at 19.
So, James, speaking of that, when a team jumps up like that, did that put like a little extra pressure on you? Man, this team jumped up a significant amount to get me. It's time for me to get out there and produce immediately.
No, I mean, pressure's pressure. I mean, going into the NFL is pressure. I mean, you know, everybody wants to perform. Everybody wants to play well. It's a new experience for me. I'm a young kid from a small town. All this is new to me. So all I do is just, you know, put the work in. That's all I knew how to do. So that's day one. I just knew that I had to grind it out and put the work in and you know, make my presence felt on the team. We were coming in at a different time. We had other players from other teams. But I had to make my little niche in there and find my way to get on the field and be on the field and be productive. And so that's what I did.
Talking with James Stewart, former Jaguar, drafted in the first round in 1995, the inaugural year of your Jaguars. They're celebrating 30 years this year, which is just crazy, and they're going to go to the throwback uniforms. And so you'll probably see a Stewart throwback as you walk into the stadium. But when you think of the football team now, how much do you pay attention to it? I'm pretty sure you got eyes on it quite often. But what did you think about the way December fell for them, losing five of the last six?
Oh, man. That was hard to see us, you know, lose those types of games down the stretch. You know, when we've had several years when we finished up strong. So, you know, we just have to find ways. We have to dip people in key positions that can help us during certain critical times of the game. And as much as, you know, we have to have Trevor be Trevor when in the biggest moments, he has to be the catalyst to everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And he has to be the one that takes the reins and shows everybody on offense, well, we're heading this direction. This is what we're going to do. Fortunately for us, we had a bunch of those guys on our team when in our offense. So everybody relied on each other. We looked to each other, and that's how we got it done.
You know, James, that's a great segue because I blamed it on leadership, their lack of leadership in that locker room. There's no way you go from 8-3 and then collapse the way you collapse. As a teammate, as a player, you don't allow that thing. The same thing that happened to us in 96. We went on a five-game win streak, all right? And it had much to do with the fact that the type of leadership we had in that locker room. Matter of fact, I mean, we were just fed up of losing. We just took it upon ourselves, hey, listen, we ain't going to lose anymore. Let's see what happens if we start winning some games.
Exactly. And I think what's happening too, though, Thurs, is the game's changed. The locker room is younger. NFL's younger. There's no veterans anymore. There's no people that I can look up to that's been, you know, the old head. All the faces that you look in the locker room now, they're all young. So where's the leadership going to come from? And if it don't come from the organization, the coaches and all the people like that, then they're not going to get it because everybody's looking at equal peers.
So where do you get your motivation from then, James? I mean, we can all say like, you're a player, you know, you're getting paid now. That should be your motivation. But where do you get that inner fortitude now?
Well, your motivation comes from that you're blessed. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about all the people that want to be where you're at. And every time that I was at practice and I felt like just a little bit of tinge, like, man, it's hot out here. I mean, I could be somewhere. Man, I always stepped out of that and said, man, where else would you want to be? Are you getting to play football for a sport? So the motivation in itself is that you made it there and you're one of just a few that made it there. So make the best of it and try to work hard and fight for everything that you get there because we all know that the NFL stands for not for long. And you won't be there long if you don't work hard and tirelessly at it.
The problem is you and Leon are cut from the same cloth, and you're not – it's different now. Players are different now, are they not?
They are. They most definitely are. Well, they're more spoiled now. They're more pampered now. Everybody has been doting on them ever since they was kids, but on a larger scale now. You know, with all the social media, with all the TV stuff, with these kids have been known ever since they was in, you know, peewee football. We didn't have that. We grew up. You might know us once we get to college, but that was about it. And then there wasn't all the hoopla around us as much as it is now. So these kids have a lot to take on, but they also have been given a lot. And a lot of times they take it for granted and they don't realize how blessed they really are.
A couple more for James Stewart, former first round pick for your Jacksonville Jaguars. We got to sneak in a Vols question as well too. But when you see Travis Etienne, I light up watching him, James. I really think he is a dynamic player. But do you think he'll go, say, from 2 years of starting into this third year, a critical year, when they look at maybe picking up that option to protect the body a little bit more? What do you think he's working on this offseason?
Well, I mean, if I've watched him over the last couple of years, I mean, I think he's improved. He's better. He's stronger. You know, obviously, you know, you're going to take those hits as a running back, but I just think he needs to continue to do what he's doing. He seems like he's very into what he, you know, the team, into the work ethic. He's a phenomenal player. And I believe, you know, even though the league is down on running backs right now, I believe that he is a pivotal part to our success. And so I look for him to have another key year. I hope we end up getting a lineman, some more linemen, a couple of linemen to add to the ones we have that can support that. Also help with Trevor Lawrence to keep him upright some. But I think he's had a tremendous first couple of years, and I look for him to be doing the same.
So you see him as that kind of that new gadget guy almost that can do, instead of just constantly running between the tackles, do more things for an offense.
Yeah, well, that those days are over.
Yeah.
If you can't catch the ball out of the backfield, you can't line up in the slot. That you don't really see that. Yeah, you Derrick Henry, but really, who's in the league that doesn't do that now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. You've got to be dynamic coming out of the backfield.
You've got to be. Got to be, or you can't be on the field.
All right, James, what do you think of Nico Iamalieva? And I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right because it changes every week now.
Yeah.
What do you think of him right now at Tennessee, and what do you like about Josh Heupel and where the program's headed?
Well, I mean, Josh is just a hell of a coach. I've seen him take rosters that, you know, you didn't think were going to do much, and he turned them into something. As far as the quarterback is concerned, I mean, he seems dynamic. But, you know, we all seem dynamic when we're throwing it to air or whatever. We got to see what he can be when he, you know, goes between those lines and he's having people fire at him and come at him. Let's see what type of player he is. But this is his chance to prove that. And I think he has the skill set to do that. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Now, James, this is our 30th anniversary. So I've got to ask you, what is the most fondest memory you have of being a Jacksonville Jaguar?
Oh, man, fondest memory I have been a Jaguar. I say one of the best times I had is when we came home. We won in Denver. Mm-hmm. And we came back home and we did the flyover for the fans. I think that was one of the coolest things I've seen or I've been a part of, just to watch the people, the stadium before us do the circle around the stadium, you know, the drive in back into the stadium and go into the stadium and watch all the fans cheers. I think that was one of the coolest things that I've experienced.
Yeah, that was 1:30 in the morning. We had like 40,000 fans.
And did the pilot tell you guys,
It was
crazy. Yeah, the pilot was, he got him on the speaker and said, hey, listen, we're going to fly over the stadium. We look down at the stadium, the lights on, and we see half the stadium full. It was like, wow. It was like 1:30 in the morning. It was great,
bro. Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
That was a great moment.
All right, James, before you go, tell everybody what you're up to. I know you're still – I mean, how many times can you push up 225 right now? I know you probably can do it like how many times?
Oh, I can push 225 at least 26 times. I can do it at least 26 times probably.
Wow. All right, tell everybody what you're doing.
Well, I got my personal training studio that I've been having for 10 years now. Just doing some good work here with the people in the community. You know, I train people from all ages. So just doing that, getting people on a healthy track and, continue to enjoy my life.
That's good stuff, man.
Bro, 26 times, bro. What are you trying to do? Get a 10-day contract?
Hey, man, look, everybody looks at me like I could still play, but as soon as they talk about that, my knees start aching.
There you go, bro.
I guarantee he threw up 26 either today or yesterday because he was like 25, 26. Yeah, right.
Because I'm sitting here thinking, honestly, have you ever seen, like, Greg Jones push up, like workout?
Listen, let me tell you, that he lives in Queens Harbor where I live.
Right.
That's a beast of a man. that's a big guy. I've never seen him do that. But I know I've done it because I did it at the combine. I did 25 reps at the combine.
Man, yeah. Those two guys are chiseled beasts in the weight room. Good.
That's a damn shame. I did 27 at my pro day.
Yeah, but it's three decades later, and he's still doing 25.
I know.
Right.
God bless him.
Hey, James, thank you very much, man. Hopefully we'll see you soon and jump in anytime.
All right, thank y'all for having me.
All right, James Little Man Stewart, and definitely, like you said, he keeps people going today in Duval.
He's 100%. He's thrown up 26 within the last couple of days.
I wouldn't doubt it. And you said you basically are staying away from those plates these days.
No, bro, I'm not doing nothing where I push out. I'll pull up, but I ain't pushing out. No.
Pushing out.
No.
But what he said is true about ETN, and it is pretty simple that he's you got to be multifaceted, and you got to protect your body. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey has proven to us that when he stays healthy, because remember, he was kind of injury-riddled, had to deal with that a little bit in Carolina. For the most part, since he's gotten out to San Francisco, he's stayed pretty dang healthy.
I mean, running backs nowadays, and James elaborated on, they got to be more dynamic. They got to be able to stay on the field on all three downs, you know? So, I mean, slot, you know, in motion, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, and James was in the era where it was ground and pound in between the tackles. You know, maybe a flare, maybe a out route now and then. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, now offenses are incorporating running backs to run those little flare routes, those out routes and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. You got to be able to do it. That's for sure. All right. So we'll stay in this world off the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. This is another guy throwing a prediction out through the first round with Ault, Fashanu, Fuanga, Latham, Mims, Guyton, Vatanu, Barton, JPJ. That totals 9 offensive linemen if JPJ sneaks in at the end. Again, I don't know about Guyton, Barton, and JPJ. I think that might be a little too much. Honestly, if you add up the number of vowels in Fashanu, Fuanga, and Vatanu, like, that's more linemen than I ever would have imagined going in the first round. But that's a big bunch, man. That's a big bunch. So we'll stay on the draft. We'll get back to it coming up here in just a second. We'll have our last or second to last. We'll probably do a mock tomorrow and another mock on Thursday on draft day. We'll keep it rolling. The Golf Club of Southampton up until 4 o'clock this afternoon when we hand it off to the Frangie Show, and then hopefully I'll see you out at the Golf Club of Southampton a little after 5 with our 9 after 5 this afternoon. Call 287-PLAY. Come on out and join us.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL.
We're in Huntington Beach at the Waterfront RV Park. This is my Quantum Thor motor coach. Kind of inspired by growing up watching the Rockford Files. Got my DVDs.
I love him. Seriously.
Jim Harbaugh.
He's living on the beach in San Diego.
Yeah, if anyone's paying attention on X, he's now out just hanging out in his RV. He has Greg Roman, his offensive coordinator, in an RV next to him. And we're playing the old Rockford Files music because that's what Jim Rockford did. He lived at just an old mobile home right up against, what was it, Santa Monica Pier? Where was it? And so just go check it out on social media on X because you can see Harbaugh. He names his, which is – his.
Bro, you know what that means? You know what that says? Men don't need much.
You know what he said?
We don't need much.
He says in the video, it's more than any man could want. And Greg Roman says, hell yeah.
We don't need much.
No. If you do boil it down, there are probably just a few essentials that you need. And you need a place to go. You need a place to sit.
Shower.
A place to sleep.
And place to sleep. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly it.
And that's what you get in an RV.
And you need something to keep what you're having cold.
Exactly.
Not only that, it's, believe me, and I don't know if you, I'm sure there's many of you that have, but if you haven't seen an RV in a while, even the trailers, man, those things are nice.
Well, we did that RV show.
That's,
remember that
I
RV
mean, you
show?
Are you are literally living in style. Mm-hmm. The finishes are high end. Like that's, RV is the way to go. When I retire, JoJo?
Yeah.
I'm getting an RV and I'm going, bro.
It's so funny because
y'all ain't ever gonna hear from me again.
I've heard like Diamonds, one of our dudes that is a big time supporter of 1010. He will get in his RV with his family, and he'll go out west and he'll set up his laptop and he'll do business every morning and then he'll cruise and do whatever and just have a great time. I haven't been in an RV in a while, but I do love it. It's still pretty awesome.
Matt, don't go Breaking Bad on us now.
I won't be Breaking Bad, but I'm telling you right now, man, I'm going to get an RV. Hey, that's not just fisher pole. And
that's not just an RV. That's a place to cook, Leon.
Y'all go, whatever happened to Matt? He's gone, man. he's somewhere in Montana right now.
Yeah, I'd like to have it where you could kind of, you know, pull up stakes, go here, there, go, you know, whatever. But still, I would like to – I like a little more luxury too. Okay, I'll rough it.
You've got to see some of them.
Yeah, I'll rough it. Well, look,
it's not roughing it. Believe me,
I've seen them. I know what you're talking about. Luxury. I still need a little luxury. I would do it. I would embrace it, but I wouldn't do it forever. I wouldn't be like that. Wouldn't be my only way to travel.
Go check out a Newmar RV. You'll see what I'm talking about.
We were there.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my cigar buddies in Orlando, he was a pilot. I mean, he showed me pictures of his $1.1 million. RV, and it looked the part. It looked the part, bro. I'm talking about the finishing inside.
Yeah, that's
and
just a beautiful.
Like.
And the first thing you thought, the first thought going through your head was, I could do this.
I could do this all day.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but guess what? Mm. If you have a $1.1 million ride, you know what you're doing? Mm. You're walking in and you're saying hey to the driver.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's up? And then you're turning left and you're going into the suite area of it. In other words, you're not driving it.
No.
True. True, but also, and if you have that, so if you have all that, which is like phenomenal. You also have, you know what your backyard is? Glacier National Park, Smoky Mountains,
heck yes.
Pacific Coast Highway. It's whatever you want it to be, bro.
Yeah, and if you could find your destinations, like I could see.
Keys.
3 weeks or whatever, you know, something
Kew
like
Island.
That. Yeah.
Wherever, man.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of beautiful places out there that I get. These United States, people probably forget about it a little too much. They want to go across the pond or down into the islands or whatever. There's a lot
the Ozarks. And I'm not talking about the Netflix series either, people.
Yeah,
there's some sweet places.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gorgeous. All right. So let's wrap our show up before we get ready to hand it off to the Frangie show. Just talking a little bit more about the draft. Look, it's so funny because we kind of drill down too much. One of our dudes says, Joe keeps bringing up JPJ. Who the hell is JPJ? I only say it to remind me of his name, Jackson Powers Johnson, because he's a three-namer. And it's funny trying to get used to all these Fuangas, Fontenou, on and on and on. Anyway, Jackson Powers Johnson is an interior lineman.
Tell him to throw on some film. You'll watch it. You'll find out how good he is.
And he's out of Oregon, and he's a guy that is considered one of the better interior offensive linemen. A mauler of sorts. Now, you could throw Cooper Beebe. You could throw a few of those other guys in there as well. But, heck, we throw all these names out. There's probably a bunch of them you don't know or haven't seen a whole lot of. But like you just said, Serge, you throw some tape in. And I think more than anything else, I think what any Jaguar fan is looking for right now is what you said, a mauler inside.
Yeah, you're looking for a people mover. You're looking for – listen, not only is he big physical, he's athletic. You got when you look at guards like that, you want you watch balance, you watch get off, you watch hands, you watch strike ability, you watch the ability to get to the second level. You know, does he flip his hips? Does he use his hands? Does he play with leverage? Does he play with a good base? Is he physical? Is he nasty? You know, those are all the things you look for when you're looking at the guard position, because essentially those guys that you pick in at the guard position, they got to go up against grown. They got to go up against 6'4", 340, 6'5", 360. Those type of. Oh, you might get someone like a. Well, he's not playing anymore. You got Aaron Donald. You might get a athletic three technique.
Chris Jones.
Try and
handle that guy.
Yeah, those type of guys. So you've got to have someone big, physical, athletic, smart, can get to the second level, use his hand well, base, strike ability, all that kind of stuff.
See, I just want nasty and dirty is what I want.
Yeah, but he's got to be able to move too,
physical.
Matt.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah,
I get that.
We don't want no furniture.
But there are guys that can, you know, that are athletic and can move, and then they get on the field, and you're like, what's going on, man? I want somebody that can use their hands and get after people
with leverage.
Yes.
Get off. Yeah, all that kind of
hands are so, like, you know, just explain to everybody. Hands are everything on the offensive line.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. You've got to be physical with your hands. You have to. And you've got to, I mean, that's why you, listen, that's the reason why you're in the weight room. That's why you bench all those weights. That's why you bench all those dumbbells, you know, so the, because I, listen, the reason how I trained when I played is that when I bench press and everything, I did everything in here.
Right.
Because when you bench press, you out here. If you're out here on a defensive player,
meaning your arms are out wide,
you're lost.
You're screwed.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I used to do everything was inside because I knew the mass majority of my game was going to be right in here.
Right. Your punch is inside.
Punch is inside. Absolutely. Leverage. Get off. When you get off and you're trying to turn somebody's shoulders, it's all in there. So yeah.
So if you're rolling the dice right now,
mm-hmm.
8 days out, and you named your three positions, are you thinking more and more offensive lineman? Are you thinking more and more 17th pick overall?
I would celebrate if the Jaguars take offensive lineman at 17. Absolutely would. And there's going to be six or seven that's going to go. I hope we get one of the elite ones. Now, we're not going to get all. We're not going to get Fashanu. We're not going to get those two guys. But all those
maybe
other
Fraga falls.
Maybe he falls. Those kind of guys.
6'5", 325.
Yeah. I love it. Are you drifting towards that?
Oh, my God. If he's there?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm drifting towards that. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing
Start him at guard. Okay, end of story.
Okay, as long as – and you know what? It's so easy to say, it ain't that easy to do. Okay? Mm-hmm. We saw it last year. You can't just say, I want the five best linemen, because it's just not – it's not real. It's imaginary. It's Hacker at Disney.
I know it is, but he is a guard. He's played guard for a while.
Well, okay,
he's a guard slash tackle.
If you have
a guard than a tackle, actually.
Do you have a guy that played guard that much that you're going to draft that high?
That's what I'm saying. Draft him.
Yeah.
I'd draft him at 17, 100%.
Okay.
Take him at left guard. Day one.
It's so easy. I'm telling you, it's so easy. You don't know whether the guy can play that position.
You stuck Anton Harrison at right tackle day one.
Okay, but that's tackle to tackle versus Walker Little being shoved inside at guard. How'd that go?
But he's not being shoved inside. He's played guard 2 years at Oregon State. Yeah, he knows how to play guard.
That I get. In other words, he's a good example of what you're talking about, but are you going to draft a guard 17th overall is the other half of my question.
Now we're going back to this best available.
It's the other half of my question. Are you going to draft a guard 17th overall?
Okay, and just go draft Brian Thompson.
Is that valuable enough? Seriously. Are you?
Yes, I would.
And keep him at guard.
100% I would, yes. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's a lot of draft.
When was Quentin Nelson drafted?
A lot of draft capital.
What pick was Quentin Nelson? 7?
Well, he's – again, I always go with the rare is rare.
All right.
There's only a few of them that have
done
that.
He was still a guard.
Like, in other words, I bet we could go back.
He's still playing interiorly, Joe.
Yeah. How many of those have come along in the first round of a draft where you said, I've got to have that guy, and he's worthy of that top selection?
All right. Well, how many times last year during games did you say, what is going on in the middle three?
I get that.
Trevor Lawrence is going to get killed.
I'm not pairing them both up. I'm not pairing them up. I know that offensive line interior needs to be fixed. But how many interior offensive linemen have been drafted that high? Now, 17 is not too terribly high to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was Zach Martin? Zach Martin was top 20, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only a few of them that have – been able to be drafted that high and 100% justified the selection by the team doing it. So I'm not going to say it's impossible.
No, you can. You can get a guard in the late rounds like Trey Smith, who, by the way, was a late guy because he had an injury. He would have been a first round pick if he wasn't injured. Mm-hmm. But you can get a guy late. All right, it's happened. We've seen it all the time. But you also run the risk of getting Ben Bartsch.
Mm-hmm. I totally get it. But it's the same thing we talk about. Whatever position we're talking about. It's marginal players in a lot of different spots will expose you. I 100% understand that. But they've been swinging at other positions like drafting rush ends at the number one pick overall, the 7th pick overall, the 20th pick overall, and they finally have hit on a couple of them. But there have been too many other ones that they didn't hit on. There's no guarantee just because you draft him high that he's going to deliver.
No, but let's be fair. Let's be intellectually honest here. They've whiffed it. Every possible position in the first round.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't stick at all on that. I would just say if you need a guard, which they clearly need in the interior three, and there's a guy there that's elite at 17, yes, take him.
And the one thing that I would agree with is that if you do make the decision at 17, you've got to be thinking starter, whatever position you choose.
Yeah, day one.
You've got to be thinking starter. And so, like we said before, I don't mind if you sit down and Ezra Cleveland after a good training camp battle. I don't mind if Brandon Sheriff even loses his job based on what could happen. But that's a big unknown.
I you know what? I just want to bring in somebody that's going to make that line uncomfortable.
Right. Guess what? Ezra Cleveland is a big unknown, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brandon Sheriff, at the end of his career, is a big unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all in the same pile. They're all in the same pile.
But Mitch Morse, at the end of his career, is a big unknown.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not arguing with any. I'm just simply saying you can't just say definitively that position is going to be a starter and he's going to be better than the guy they already have in their football team.
He better be.
Yeah.
If you're picking him at 17, you better know for sure he is.
Well, you won't know for sure with a defensive back. You won't know for sure with a wide receiver.
Better chance hitting with an offensive lineman than you do a wide receiver.
Look, I'm going to give you the numbers. I know that you'll probably end up saying that
just
ain't
my
true.
Opinion. Just my opinion.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we're looking for.
Amateur GM.
Yeah. Yeah, because we are nominating you to be GM. There are plenty out there that are nominating you to do that as well. All right, we're done. Thanks to the Golf Club of Southampton, XL Primetime on a beautiful Wednesday. The 9 after 5 will tee up around 5:15, 5:20. So you got time to get off work. Come on out. Just call 287-PLAY. Get on the tee sheet and have some fun this afternoon. We are done. We hand it off to the Francis Show coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Sirs, RJ, all good stuff this afternoon. We appreciate you hanging out with us.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers.